107.9, Life FM, more music, and our book chat each Wednesday. I bring you fantastic books, which I'm sure you'll enjoy reading, and one today, which I reckon you're going to love. It's called Dance Until It Rains. It's a brand new release from Andrew Jobling. Andrew's from Melbourne. We're chatting with him today to find out a little bit more about him, his life, his book, and how it can help your life. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great, Jane. How are you this morning?
Very well, thank you. Now, you've written a few books, and this is your latest release. A very interesting title to start with, Dance Until It Rains. Tell us about the title.
Jane, the title, Dance Until It Rains, was actually a story that I came across when I was listening to an audio CD. And at the time, I knew the message that I was trying to get across with it, but the title was really eluding me. And I listened to this story based around the Red Indians, when you know there hadn't been a lot of rain for a long time, so they were really struggling for water. And it was really a story about obviously dancing, doing the rain dance and dancing until it rained. And at the end of the story, basically what it was saying was the secret to dancing and making it rain was dance until it rains. In other words, persistence, keep going. Doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter whether your feet blister or your back ache. It doesn't matter what the conditions are, what other people are saying, just keep going. And it really is a story of persistence. You know, the book is about my mum's story, and you know, the greatest inspiration was her incredible attitude towards just keep going irrespective of circumstances.
Now, your mum is Sue Jobling. Tell us a little bit about some of the journey and some of the things that you observed throughout her life, which I think was 69 years?
Yeah, she was 69 years old. She had a very interesting beginning to life. She was born in Hungary back just before the Second World War. She had a Jewish upbringing, which means at that time her and her family were vulnerable, you know, with the onset of obviously the Second World War and the Nazis and all that sort of stuff. So they made a decision to leave Hungary and head to Australia. And that was a big decision back in those days. And that was a massive journey. And my grandparents did the best that they could do, but they really struggled to communicate to my mum. And over the situations that occurred and the things she had to go through, she developed this belief that she wasn't loved unconditionally, that she had to work to earn her love, was an expectation of the time that you needed to do your bit. So, you know, that really influenced her quite heavily in terms of the way she felt about herself and thought about herself, and she was always an incredibly giving person. As she obviously developed into a young lady and then she got married and ended up with three kids and very much always was a giving person. Now, I guess the real journey where my observation of her life came, where I started to, I guess, really take notice, was when she was diagnosed with breast cancer in 1988. Over the next sort of, really, it was 17 years, I watched her with an incredible attitude to keep going and overcome a disease which just never rested. And you know, 18 months after the breast cancer diagnosis, it was found in her liver, secondary cancer in her liver. Chances of survival were actually pretty slim at that point. But she decided, no, I'm going to keep going and I'm going to win. I'm going to beat this and I'm going to overcome it. And from that point, you know, it's incredible what she achieved, what she did, the wellness and the abundance that she brought into her life, the things she changed. You know, that has inspired me unbelievably.
Reading through the book, you know, it's very obvious too. You talked about her not understanding the unconditional love. The whole situation seemed to draw you together as a family.
It absolutely did, and I think we had a real common goal together, and that was to work together to be stronger as a family unit. How do we communicate better? How do we get over stuff that we hadn't gotten over? You know, I got to learn so much about my mum that I had no idea. You know, she did things that she probably would never have done. She created relationships she probably never would have. She ended relationships she probably never would have, and she fixed relationships that maybe never have been fixed. We look at, you know, cancer is this devastating event. But when I look back at my mum's life, it was a catalyst for her to actually create incredible joy into her life. So rather than being something that was devastating, it really enhanced the quality in a lot of aspects of her life.
Andrew, it is really this whole mind over matter and how you approach everything. A couple of the chapters that really caught my eye, one in particular, the attitude of gratitude and that sense of, even though it's not the best thing you're going through in life, that you can see something that comes out of it, that just comes through so strongly throughout the book.
Well, I think for most of us, Jane, we think about and stress about and worry about all the things that we don't like, we don't want, that aren't fantastic. And the only place that will lead us down the path of anxiety, stress, resentment, anger, blame. This is something Mum taught me. As soon as we can switch, and it doesn't matter what the circumstance is, you can look at something that might look horrendous, but if you can just look at it from a different perspective, you can see the lesson, you can see the learning, you can see the positive in the situation. You can't be stressed and grateful at the same time. You can't be grateful and angry at the same time. So we're either one or the other, and that's a choice, and we can choose, and it's never going to be easy, but it had such an incredible impact on her as a person and the things she was able to achieve because she did change the way she looked at things.
I've just flicked open to chapter 11, which is actually called An Attitude of Gratitude, and a great quote that you've got there from Brian Tracy: develop an attitude of gratitude and give thanks for everything that happens to you, knowing that every step forward is a step towards achieving something bigger and better than your current situation. So as you've shared some of your memories and some of the things that you've learnt from your mother in Dance Until It Rains, are you hoping this will be a stepping stone for other people?
I guess, yes, I wanted to honour my mum, but that's not the main reason I wrote the book. The reason I wrote the book is because I want people to learn these lessons. You know, I'm on a real crusade at the moment because when I look at the statistics of wellness or health well-being at the moment, it's quite devastating. You know, I've been in the health and well-being industry for well over 25 years, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And I just think it's time for people to stop looking outside themselves for a solution or for an answer and start taking responsibility for where they're at. And because I watched Mum initially, with the initial diagnosis of breast cancer, she didn't take responsibility for that diagnosis, and she went and she got the operation, she got the lump removed, she had the treatment, and she went back to her normal way of life. She didn't change anything. 18 months later, when it reoccurred in her liver as secondary cancer, and now she had a real finite time to live based on statistics, she decided, why would I take that diagnosis when I can take control of my circumstances? I can take responsibility for my decisions. And I think if we could all take responsibility, you know, I think that's the most powerful lesson that I want people to learn from the book, is that we are in control of where we end up. And if we can make better decisions, better choices, and they're just simple things like get up and eat breakfast, you know, or be grateful rather than resentful, or go for a walk with your partner, or just really simple things that we look at every day and we go, well, if I don't do it, it's not that big a deal. But over time, it is a big deal, because all the simple decisions that we make add up over time. They compound, and they'll put us on a path that will lead us somewhere. And when we get there, like my mum, when she got diagnosed with breast cancer, was, well, why me? This is not fair. Why am I so unlucky? Well, it's not luck, and it's not unfair. It's based on the choices that we make every day put us on a path that will eventually lead us somewhere. Now, we can control whether that point, where that ends up, is either a happy and healthy place or it's not. And I guess that's my real passion and my real crusade at the moment, is to get people to make one or two simple, easy decisions that will put them on a different path.
You're listening to our book chat this morning on Life FM. Andrew Jobling is our guest. Dance Until It Rains, some life lessons that he learnt from his mother. We're going to take a song, and then we're going to find a little bit more about some of the lessons he learnt and a copy to give away too. It's 107.9 Life FM.